Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach David Bartke here. Today is Sunday, April the 22nd, 2018. It is a little past 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This is your weekend daily dose of happy, and we actually got a rather late start this week. That's my fault. I was enjoying my weekend so much, I just lost track of the time. But on the other hand, once I remembered the track of the time, I said, wait a minute, this is what I love doing. What am I doing? So here we are. We're doing our weekly thing. David, how you doing?
Hey, Walt. I'm doing very good. I had a very good weekend and a nice week last week, and I wanted to find out, how did your visit to the Esther Hicks seminar go?
Yeah, that was quite the experience. As I've mentioned before, this is the first one we've ever attended. Louise and I went together. We had a good time, really good time, actually. They're very much like what they look like in the videos on YouTube, not terribly surprising. And I can't say that I felt like I was learning a whole bunch of new stuff, because, you know, we've studied so much of this stuff here on the show, you know. I pick up so much from you guys, you know. But nevertheless, actually, there was one part that Wendy had told me about, but we never really got around to discussing it in any detail. And that is that Abraham has kind of expanded the three-step process into five steps. And I got to hear all those five steps presented as a group. When answering questions for one of the people who were called up on stage. So that was interesting. I had not heard all five steps, and now I understand the five-step process. I think Wendy tried to explain them to me, and for some reason it went in one ear out the other. It just didn't actually work in my head for some reason, but this time I got it. So yeah, that was really worthwhile to hear that and to understand what the process is. And now that I understand what the five-step process is, it actually makes a lot of sense to me. But have you heard about that at all, the five steps that they've
experienced? I have, I've listened to, and it's funny because every time I hear it, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go write it down right now. And what happens is, like, I get caught up in listening to the whole 15 or a half hour lecture on YouTube, and then I forgot to write it down.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, I've got it committed to memory. I understand it now. I can actually explain it. And obviously the first three steps are pretty much what they've been all along. First step is to ask. Second step is to, basically receive it, to believe it. And then the third step, of course, is the allowing. And this is the Abraham version as opposed to the secret version. But, I consider them to be kind of the originals of it anyway. So I figure this is the original version. But, the third step is the allowing, which of course is actually the hardest one. And then the fourth step is, after you've been doing the allowing, or actually as a result of doing the allowing, you're getting yourself, allowing is where you get yourself into that high vibrational state, right? Well, the fourth step is staying in the high vibrational state and just, getting the high flying disc spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning and just feeling good, feeling good, feeling good, feeling good. And then after you've been feeling good, then step five is, while you're now in this heightened state, you go back to step one and do your next ask. So you're asking from a higher vibrational level than you did the first time.
I love that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Which makes sense. I mean, because the three-step process as it was presented, it almost sounds like it's isolated from life. Whereas this one, it has some continuity to it. It's like one thing leads to the next, which leads to the next, which leads to another, and so on and so forth. That's the way life goes. So it actually makes a lot of sense, but it was good to hear it presented that way.
And then when she came out, because when I saw her, she first came out as Esther, and then she said, okay, now I'm going to channel Abraham, and then she closed her eyes, and then she opened them again with the channeling.
Right. Although she doesn't call it channeling, but that's what she did.
Yeah.
Yeah. She calls it receiving. But yeah, precisely.
Was there any question in particular that you were going to ask her?
Oh yeah, I had my questions all lined up, and I think I've mentioned them to you previously. My questions had to do with expansion, because all of this about being in the contrast and making our choices of our preferences and getting into the high flying disc and all that kind of stuff. That is all about expanding the universe. That's one of the main reasons we're supposedly doing all this stuff. And I wanted to know, what exactly is expanding? I mean, is it matter expanding? Is it energy that's expanding? Does expanding mean that there's more of it, or that it's just getting farther apart, or, you know, what exactly is expanding? And then the other question I had was, well, it had to do with kind of relating the basic idea of the law of attraction, like attracts like, to science, because in science, magnetism, north and south poles are attracted to each other, so opposites are attracting. And similarly with electricity, opposite electrical poles attract to each other. And indeed, even with within chemistry, within nuclear bonding and so forth, you have the positive nucleus and you have the negative electron, and they're basically drawn to each other, so that the electron is going around the positive proton in the middle. So three examples of opposites attracting. And I wanted to know, well, how is it that opposites can attract if this is an attractive universe between like and like? And I actually had my theory about what the answer might be on that one. But if I was called up on stage, that's what I was going to ask. And the interesting thing, David, is when it came time to try to get up on stage, I didn't raise my hand. I didn't raise my hand at all. Any of the times the opportunity came up. And the first time I didn't know why I didn't do it. In fact, Louise turned to me and said, aren't you going to raise your hand? I said, nope. And then the second time, nope. And by the third time, I understood why. By the third time, my questions had been answered in a way that David Bartke would answer them. I'm not kidding you. All I was doing was trying to understand how this whole thing works instead of actually doing it. Which is exactly the kind of thing you've told me in the past, right? And when I thought of it that way, I don't know what it was, something about being at the event or something like that. It just, it kind of reinforced, I guess. And I was happy with that answer. And I really felt no need to get up on stage, which was kind of surprising. I mean, it was okay. I was perfectly okay with it. It was just...
Yeah.
And if I had been called up on stage, if I had put up my hand and tried to get called up, I would have been okay with that too. It would have been fine.
Right.
But it just wasn't... The questions got answered in my head. I realized that was just a distraction. That was just me distracting myself from what it is that I was really trying to do the work on. So I didn't need to get them answered.
Okay. And it was there any particular question that someone asked that you were like, that you found very interesting or... Like,
oh, not really. I mean, as with most of these that we've seen on YouTube and so forth, I mean, the questions that most people who go to these things are on a much more basic level. The conversations you and I have and that I also have with Tom and Cindy and Wendy and Joel are much more high level. They're much more advanced. So, I mean, the questions that they were asking really were so basic that as soon as they asked the question, I said, well, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I just thought of the answer to myself, and sure enough, that's what it was, you know. So there was no challenge to them. There was no, like, oh, wow, this is so fascinating, you know. The fascinating
sometimes
part.
Sometimes she does get those other kind of questions. So I was just curious.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, no, she didn't. Yeah. No, these were all very basic questions that she got. A couple of them were, Abraham does a thing often where somebody will raise a question, and they'll frame it in a way that is, you know, mostly like right in alignment with what Abraham teaches, and everybody knows that. Everybody can tell it's Abrahamic style of talking about stuff. And then Abraham will find like little things to tweak in what they said, you know. So that's always kind of fun to listen to. And there were a few times where Abraham was they were trying to explain something, and the way that it would come out, as soon as they were saying it, I knew exactly what they're going to say.
Yeah.
Now, partly because sometimes they recycle some of the phrases, but some of it you could just tell the answer had to be along the lines of X, and sure enough, X was what the answer was.
Yeah.
So you know.
Yes. Yeah.
There was nothing terribly surprising. Some of it was fun. Some of it was really funny, actually. It's like Esther said at the beginning when she's still Esther and she's doing her initial presentation.
Yeah.
She says, "So here's what's going to happen. Right? Here's what's going to happen tonight. I have no idea." And that's cute. That's a nice way to start. So we'll just have to find out. And then she goes into, you know, receiving Abraham. You know, but that was the kind of thing that came up a lot. And I don't know if they had this when you went to see it. They present these little, well, they have the two screens up on the sides, right? So you can see, in case you have a bad view, you can see what's going on stage through the eyes of the camera.
Right.
At one point, as Esther, in her Esther guise, was explaining how Abraham picks people out of the audience, she decided to use the analogy of whack-a-mole. And over on the one screen, you saw this guy playing whack-a-mole with like a board with moles popping up and a huge hammer, and he's hammering these moles. And then she says, but we'd like to do it a lot more gently than that. And so you look at the other screen, and you have whack-a-kitty. And you have these little kittens popping their heads up, and this little gentle, soft mouth is very gently pushing their heads back down. And then one of the kittens jumps out of the hole and runs away. So they had fun, and it was fun to watch that kind of stuff. All in all, a very good evening, very worthwhile. And plus, or not an evening, actually, it was morning. And then after the event was over, Louise and I drove just down the road about, not that far, 3-4 miles, something like that, and went to a high-end diner that we love because they have the most absolutely delicious Greek gyros that you could possibly buy anywhere in the U.S. I mean,
goodness.
Just absolutely fantastic. So, you know, we had 4 hours of Abraham and, you know, some wonderful Greek gyros afterward. It was good.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
talk to anybody, any interesting people in the audience with you, or?
You know, the audience was, I can't say, I guess I'm not surprised after the fact, but I would have expected to have more people be more outgoing and so forth, and I was actually smiling and trying to engage people, and people were not engageable. It was really interesting. Yeah. I mean, they were, it was like the kind of crowd you would see at like a movie or, you know, a theater or, you know, a concert or something like that, where everybody is just keeping to themselves and so forth. That's what was happening. I was befuddled because it's not what I expected at all.
Some people kind of just kept to themselves.
And I was feeling in a good mood. I was smiling a lot, which is kind of unusual for me when I'm in a crowd. I normally don't do that unless I know people who are there. But I was feeling very amiable, very engaging. Nobody, I mean, I could get like little bits of, you know, a quick look at me and then turn away kind of thing. I'm thinking, do I have bad breath? Mm-hmm. I mean, what's going on? Is it my deodorant? I mean.
Did you get up on the stage and announce our radio show?
No, I'm afraid that never became an option. I had my business cards with me. I had business cards made up for the LOA Today radio show. Just in case, I can hand those out. But nobody, there was no opportunity to hand one out.
That's what you could have done. You could have raised your hand. You get in the hot seat, and you say, Abraham, I just have a question. I do a Law of Attraction radio show on PRNFM, LOAToday.com. I just had to just come up with some question to see, just to advertise the radio show.
Well, if I had done that, it wouldn't have worked because our radio station is actually on loatoday.net.com, not .com. So if I said .com, we wouldn't have gotten any traffic anyway. So.
And they would have said, we already know about it. Good work.
Well, I was afraid that if I tried to do something like that, the paperwork that you get that's handed to you as you're printing out your registration form to take to the door, the paperwork says no marketing, no, handing out materials and all that kind of stuff, no trying to promote your related stuff. So
they want you to buy their videos.
Oh, of course, yes.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, I'm glad you went because I know it's interesting because I went last year. And
you went to the same one, didn't you? You went to the one in Greenwich.
Same location.
Same one. Yep. Yeah, okay.
Same one.
Yeah.
I may even have gone 2 years ago. I forget now, but it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it was interesting. And, you know, I kind of had a similar experience with the audience. Like, not,
did you?
People seemed kind of very, like, a little guarded. A little bit.
Oh, yeah. Like, not a little bit, a lot guarded.
And you know what? I was really surprised because you know how we always love to meet Law of Attraction oriented people.
Right.
Because we love to talk. We love to talk about it and share and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And when I went, I was like, ooh, how amazing. I'm going to be in a room filled with other people that are really into and resonate with the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a similar experience where I tried to make some conversation here and there, and it really, people seem kind of like very short, very like short conversations, and nobody really want to talk.
It was really fascinating. I mean, at one point they had the first break, and my wife didn't want to come out. She just wanted to sit in the chair for a bit. So I wandered out into the hall and just kind of wandering around, stretching my legs. I saw where there was like a little water cooler and people were lined up for it. I said, good, I'll get a water. I don't really drink coffee or anything like that. So I went for the water cooler and got in line. It was a short line. Got my cup, went to fill it. And there was another woman who came in from another direction at the same point. And so rather than just, push in front and start filling my cup, I just took a cup and handed it to her, big smile on my face. She looked up, smiled very quickly, took it, thanked me, looked down, wouldn't even look at me again, took her water and walked away. I'm thinking, like, am I a leper?
No, I don't know. Maybe going puts people in a certain mood. I don't know.
It's strange. I mean, the energy level in the room was great. It really was. It was a very high energy audience. It's just that nobody wanted to talk to people they didn't know. Or maybe it was just me. Maybe it was my breath. I don't know.
No. You know what? I think part of it is, too, is like social media has now kind of taken over a lot of people with social skills. You know what I mean? Like, because everyone's so used to Facebooking and texting and
meaning emailing. That they don't have social skills? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot less of in person meeting and contact with a group of people you don't know. So I just think a lot of people kind of just don't know how to do it. Like
that
I do,
could be.
You do, but I don't know. I just think a lot of people are just so not used to that anymore that when they come together, it might feel a little awkward. I don't know.
Well, years ago, I was actually extremely introverted. So if I had gone to something like this, I would never have talked to anybody anyway. Maybe what I'm discovering is that nobody else wanted to talk to anybody either. If I had only known that, it would have made it so much easier at the time,
Oh, my goodness. I know. Here we are, these friendly guys. We just want to strike up a conversation.
I tell you. Well, actually, I could always write it off as something else, too, because of my height, because I'm very, very tall. So, that's intimidating, too. I mean, literally, you know how tightly they pack you in one of these things, right? Your chairs are all right next to each other. You're shoulder to shoulder. It's very, very tight. And when Esther comes in for the first time, when she came in and we all stood up to give her a round of applause and so forth, Louise was to my left, and to my right was another woman who I never even got a chance to meet. And I looked over at her, and she's looking up at me. I mean, I'm like a good foot and a half taller than she is, right? She's looking up at me. She's got this plastic smile on her face, like, oh, wow. I'm thinking, what on earth are you thinking? I'm just smiling nicely. How nice. And she, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, but it is. It's true. Like, you would think all those people in there know everyone in there is into the law of attraction. So
yeah, you would think.
I don't know. You would, in your mind, you would think, oh, there's going to be a lot of great conversations going on, and everybody wants to meet everybody, because how often does that happen? But I guess that wasn't the case.
Maybe they thought they were at a law of repulsion conference. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, since we're laughing, have you had any vibration raising foods in the last week?
Yeah, I had some Greek gyros. It was delicious.
Oh, that same day. Yeah,
oh yeah. Let me tell you, the lamb is absolutely done to perfection. You don't even need a knife. Well, first of all, they serve it to you on a pita, a round pita, and it's got lettuce and it's got tomato and all that kind of stuff, and of course that special Greek sauce that whose name I can't possibly pronounce.
The tzatziki sauce.
Yeah, is that what it is? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's delicious, So you're mixing up your own, you're basically it's like a sandwich almost that you're making, but it's a hot sandwich, and that the lamb you don't need a knife, you barely even need a fork. I mean, I just pick it up and roll it into a sandwich and just like a hero, right? Except it's not. It's the original hero, so to speak. But, oh, God, it was just to die for. It was so good. Mm.
Well, I had, I went to a Mexican restaurant, and I love Mexican food. And one thing I love are tamales.
Mm.
And I don't know why, but for some reason around here, they're difficult to find. A lot of Mexican restaurants don't offer them. But I did find a place, and I had their tamale. You know, it was like the tamale with the refried beans and rice, and it was really good, really good. And then someone I was with ordered for dessert deep-fried ice cream, deep-fried vanilla ice cream.
Mm. Okay.
And I try to stay away from anything deep-fried.
I'm trying to figure out how you fry ice cream, but never the mind. No.
I guess you take a big scoop of ice cream and throw it in there for a minute. I don't know. But
I mean, how do you keep it from melting? That's what I want to know.
I guess it has to be really super cold, and you probably don't do it for more than a few seconds.
Maybe you freeze it like down to like, you know, sub-zero so that it's like ice.
Yeah.
You know, a block of ice.
Probably.
Yeah.
All I know is if you ever get a chance to try vanilla deep-fried ice cream, try it.
Okay.
Oh, my God, it was so good. I only took, like, a teaspoon just so I could try it, but it was like, wow, that was really good. Something with the, like, the cold of the ice cream and that ice cream texture mixed with the outside part had, like, had a little bit of a crunch to it. It was just like, oh, my God, that's really good.
Sounds very nice.
So that was my vibration radio.
Actually, now that I think about it, there was another one yesterday. Because after the Greek Heroes,
yes.
we were in southwestern Connecticut at that point, of course. We live just north of Hartford, which is like north central, slightly toward the east. And so it's about roughly an hour and a half drive, something like that. And it actually turned into about a two-hour drive because we decided to do like a little side trip over to New Canaan. And you know, we were just kind of doing some exploring. And we ended up getting back to our area and drove to West Hartford and had dessert at the Cheesecake Factory. So we had a triple treat. We had Abraham, we had the Greek Heroes, and then we had Cheesecake Factory.
So what did you get for dessert?
Cheesecake. what else do you get at the Cheesecake?
So many different kinds.
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, I mean, what else would you get at a Cheesecake Factory, right? I think I'll have pie.
Well, they do have very good, like, apple cobbler with vanilla ice cream.
That's true. They do have that. That's right. Yeah. No, it was what do you call it? A chocolate mousse cheesecake. Very good. Very good, actually.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Louise was
trying to talk me into getting the anniversary cheesecake, but I looked at it and I said, no, it's too rich. No, thank you.
What was that one?
It's white chocolate. It's dark chocolate. It's, what else is in there? It's like a double slice. It's almost like a layered cake sort of thing. Yeah. And the first layer is like the white chocolate and then the dark chocolate. And then there's like a second layer. And the second layer was, what was it? Oh, I don't remember. It was decadent. That's what it was.
Well, it sounds pretty good. People listening are like, aren't they supposed to be talking about law of attraction?
That's right. Well, look what we attracted. I mean, come on.
But we're talking about vibration-raising food.
Oh, that's right.
So that's how we're tying it in the law of attraction.
I think you actually use it as an excuse. The whole thing about vibration raising food, you just like to talk about food, so you had to give it a label.
But they do. There are certain foods that when you have them, you're like, oh my God, I just raised my vibration to a 10. But I will say there was a common theme this week. A lot of my friends, like usually I talk about all my clients, whatever. But a lot of my friends this week who are into the law of attraction were calling me and they're like, I don't understand why I'm having such a terrible, hard time. I'm so frustrated right now about this, or I'm so angry right now about that, or different things. And the theme was I had to coach each one of them, and I basically said, well, if you're frustrated about something, or angry, or whatever it is, that is keeping you in the vibration of frustration. So you're just going to continue to think of more thoughts that are going to frustrate you. You're going to continue to set yourself up to attract more frustrating experiences. So you got to get yourself out of that vibration. Oh, it's too hard because I'm working and thinking about this. And I was like, well, why are you thinking then and trying to do work and processes on the big thing that's bothering you? You got to get yourself feeling better / at a higher vibration, even a little, So get off the topic of the big thing that's bothering you. And I would just basically say, well, you know, tell me something that did go well this week, or tell me something good that did happen to you this week. And little by little, just by going more general with the person and getting them to refocus on something that actually made them feel good or made them feel better than what the thing they were thinking about, it worked. In the, you know, they started telling me about whatever the good thing that was that happened, or something just in general. Like one of my friends is in Florida, and she was just saying, oh, the weather here has been gorgeous, and we've been able to do this and do that, and I reconnected with an old friend, and it went really well. And then from that point, then she could go back, and if she wanted to work on doing some processes on the, quote, big thing. But sometimes you just got to get yourself off the big thing and go more general, just to give yourself some relief. And just yourself feeling a little bit better.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, in fact, one of the main themes that Abraham played on throughout the entire workshop yesterday was the word satisfaction.
Ah, interesting.
And you know how they like to tell stories and so forth as a way to illustrate their points, which is really the best way to present stuff anyway.
Do you remember what they were talking about?
Oh, the stories? If I had some time to think about it, I could probably remember what some of them were. Well, actually, I can remember what one of them was.
Yeah.
It was when they first presented the idea of satisfaction and of feeling satisfaction as an ideal thing to do. And the way they presented it was, Esther had flown in to White Plains Airport. Obviously, that's the route she came in to come into the New York City area to go to this workshop. And as she was on that flight, before they came in to land, she was sitting in her seat, and she had her neck pillow. And in fact, Abraham made the joke that they were surprised that she wasn't wearing the neck pillow now, because she loves her neck pillow. And she was just laying back, and she was feeling so good, and just feeling satisfied. I mean, everything about her life she was feeling so satisfied with. And it was just like a little bit of a chill, so she took her little blanket that they give you, and she had wrapped it around herself, and she was just feeling so comfortable. And then the flight attendant came up to her and handed her a bottle of water that had been heated and had a towel around it so she could hold on to it. It was basically a hot bottle of water, and it said, here, I thought you might like this in order to warm up. And she said, my life wonderful or what? I mean, when was the last time a flight attendant brought you a hot water bottle to warm up with? I mean, she didn't even ask for it or anything. It just, she was in this very receptive mood. And sure enough, the law of attraction just delivered her one more thing to feel satisfied about. So that was their example, that if you can get yourself feeling satisfied, that's when the allowing happens. That's when the stuff starts flowing from your vortex. That's when all the good things happen. And it's just about getting into that state of feeling satisfied.
Yeah.
And I like the idea. The only thing that I kind of wish they had tweaked a little bit is that they didn't mean by satisfied that you should feel like you're done. They meant just the opposite. They meant that you should feel good so that you can get more, and so you can keep asking for more. And I have that little association. I think a lot of people have that association. If you're satisfied, then you don't need anything more. You're done. So I kind of wish they had kind of tweaked that a little bit. But other than that, I thought it was a great concept.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
In fact, I was practicing it today. Did you have the really nice weather we had today? We were up in the mid-60s today.
Yes, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. So I got one of my walks in. I've been getting more of those in, which has been great. I've really enjoyed it. And today I had my headphones plugged into my phone, and I was walking along and feeling good. And I was focusing on satisfaction, just being satisfied with how the walk was going and what I was listening to, and you know, how beautiful the weather was, the blue sky. I mean, you know, it's that. Remember we talked about the times where I had tried to influence the weather because there was some storm coming through or whatever, and I always painted in my mind this scene of this, you know, beautiful mid-60s day with the blue sky and the little puffy white clouds and the sun that was so warm and, you know, no, just a gentle breeze and just so comfortable. That's what today was. It was my ideal day.
Yeah.
So I had my ideal day doing my walk, which I love doing, listening to my positive music. And let me tell you, it was not difficult to be satisfied. It was actually pretty easy. And so I practiced being satisfied. And it was great. I was enjoying it. And the more I enjoy it, that's the, and I have to say, this is where I can endorse it. The more I enjoyed it and the more satisfied I was, the more I enjoyed it, more satisfied I was. It became like it became a cycle where it kept building and building and building, so that my satisfaction, my excitement, my feeling good just kept getting larger and larger and larger throughout the walk. So it was great.
That is great. Did it make you go into your skipping routine?
I have not skipped in a long time, no.
One of these times I'm going to ask you, you're going to say yes.
I'm
so caught up in feeling so good, I just started skipping through the park.
Well, I only do it when I know there's nobody else around and there were a lot of people on the path today. So, no, that was not going to happen. But
but one day you're going to feel so free and so high vibration, you're not going to care who's around.
Then, well,
you're going to enjoy it.
Then you're going to have to wait for that story, I'm afraid. So anyway, we have been actually on this chapter, or it's not a chapter, it's an example. This example two in part two of The Astonishing Power of Emotions, Let Your Feelings Be Your Guide. And this example is called I Cannot Lose Weight. And normally you and I move through these pretty quickly, but we've been moving through this one quite slowly. We are down to the last 2 1/8 pages or so. So I'm kind of hoping we'll get through it this week because I'm running out of ideas about what to write on the descriptions that I write for each episode. So we have to get through this, you see.
Okay, but there's only a few pages left of this.
That's
chapter,
right. We're almost done with this example. But what we have been doing, they've been giving us some little mini rampages to help with the idea of how do you shift from, like your clients were doing. Your clients were in a negative space, in a frustrated space. How to shift one step at a time into a more positive space, probably kind of like what you did with them when you were working with them on your calls. And they've given us a number of examples. Now that they've given us a number of examples, they're going to give us a little description. That's where we're up to right now. And then we're going to do a couple more examples. So the description.
And basically the chapter has kind of been revealing from Abraham's point of view, law of attraction point of view, that how you keep yourself feeling / keeping yourself at a high vibration affects how you gain weight or don't gain weight. How you think about the food when you're eating it also affects that.
In fact, this is that same example a couple shows back where we read the section that said where they were talking about you're in this bad mood and you decide to go into an ice cream parlor and just eat a bunch of ice cream even though you're already overweight. And the point they wanted to make is, let's see, where's the phrase here? Even if we are talking about 1,000 days of walking out as compared to 1,000 days of eating a tub of ice cream, the action choice of one or the other makes no difference. It is not your action that matters. It is your vibration. It is not your action that matters. It is that makes you fat is your vibration. It is not what you are doing that makes the difference. It is how you are feeling about what you are doing. So this is the rather unorthodox foundation that they've been building on.
Yes.
So we are we're currently on page 64. That's where I've got. Is that where you have us on 64?
Yeah.
I'm on 64 at the top. So shall I read it, or do you want to read it?
Yes.
I'll read it. Okay. I'll read this part, and then you can read the upstream, downstream stuff. Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. All right.
So it says where whenever you find yourself beating the same old drum about your body weight. If you would make an effort to turn your thoughts downstream and stay focused upon the subject until you feel a slight turn, in a very short period of time, you will improve the vibrational relationship between where you are and what you want. And you will be amazed at the leverage this improved vibration will give to your process. Everything about this will get easier and easier until in time your desired body weight will have been achieved. So now let us say that you are at work, you have not been focused on your body or your weight because you had things to accomplish and you've been busy at those things. But now it is lunchtime, and as you are walking past the vending machine, you feel an urge to buy a cookie. You put in your money, the cookie drops through the chute, and while you are unwrapping it, the feeling of discomfort comes over you. Here I go again, you say, feeling the discomfort washing over you. But the urge is strong, and you take a big bite of the cookie. You feel worse still as a strong feeling of disappointment now rises within you. But this time things are slightly different from ever before because you have some positive momentum going from those statements you have been making about the subjects of your weight, ones we made last week. You remember, it isn't about what I'm doing, it's about how I'm feeling while I'm doing it. So you pause and look at the cookie, and you make the following statements. David, what statements do they make?
Yeah, so the statements are, I shouldn't be eating you upstream. You'll only make me fatter, another upstream statement. You are delicious, though, more downstream.
Mm.
And you're not all that big, more downstream. I could eat some of you now and save some for later, more downstream.
Mm-hmm.
I like having choices. I like making deliberate choices. I like being in charge of my actions.
All downstream.
All downstream, yep. If I had stopped to think, I may not have been so quick to put my money in this machine. Also downstream. I just wasted a dollar. I'm really making quite a big to-do over eating a little cookie. More downstream.
Mm-hmm.
You're a tasty little cookie. Well, I'm...
That almost sounds obscene.
Don't make me laugh. Well, I don't want to get into a laugh. Okay.
Well, we're doing downstream, so it's okay.
Yes. These are all downstream.
Yep.
You're a tasty little cookie. Well, I'm enjoying you, cookie. I'm deliberately enjoying you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll choose to eat you, and sometimes I'll pass. Right now, I'm going to eat you, and I'm going to enjoy you.
All downstream comments.
I bet that's what the Cookie Monster thinks when he's eating cookies, right?
Probably so, yeah. Oh, have you ever noticed how svelte? Have you ever noticed how svelte the Cookie Monster is?
That's right, because he's always in a downstream.
He is. He's a downstream character. That's very true. Yeah. So anyway, the book says you have just accomplished something that is rather unusual for you. You are eating a cookie, and you have talked yourself into alignment with yourself, and therefore with your desire to be slender at the same time. You are in alignment with you, capital Y-O-U, which is much more significant than anything you are doing or not doing with a cookie. And now a very slender person walks up to the machine, pulls out a cookie, and begins to eat it. And as you watch, you can tell that this person is truly savoring this cookie. In the past, as you watched a slender person eating a cookie, your thoughts would be, David?
It's not fair.
Oh.
Her metabolism allows her to eat tasty things and still be slender.
Ooh.
She's probably unhealthy, and that's the only thing she will eat today.
Ooh.
All upstream.
Yes.
Now, that's interesting, because a lot of times in the past, I would think kind of that. Like, if I saw someone, you know, very thin, I would always, and eating whatever, I would always be like, oh, they probably just have a high metabolism. And, you know, it's not fair that they just naturally have that, and I have to be so careful of what I eat to be anywhere near the realm of being thin.
Good way to put on weight just by thinking that, I can tell you that.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of upstream thoughts about food.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
But this
goes on.
But this time, because of the vibrational work you have been doing, you think instead...
Ah, there is evidence of someone who's in alignment with her desire of eating a cookie,
uh-huh.
which is downstream.
It is. It's all about vibrational alignment. Do not look for immediate, measurable physical results. Instead, look for improvement in your mood, your attitude, and your emotions. And when you feel better, you are more in alignment, and everything else will follow. It is law. Now, that's a fascinating... First of all... Congratulations to us. We finally finished the example. We've been working on this for 3 weeks.
We finished, yes.
Not to mention the fact that it was actually an interview mixed in the middle of that, so it's actually been longer than 3 weeks. But the point is, we did get this thing done. More importantly, though, this is a really unusual approach to losing weight, because this is not what we usually hear. Wendy talks about this quite a bit. Most of the time, it's all about, you know, the calories and feeling guilty about the foods. And, you know, you're supposed to do this, and that's a good food, that's a bad food. You don't do this, you don't do that. All the food rules, knowing all the food rules, feeling guilty about all the food rules. And this one has none of that. This approach to weight loss has none of that. It all has to do with enjoying the cookie. I mean, that's mind-blowing. Or the cheesecake, yes. or the Greek heroes, or whatever it was, you know? It was just, This is a completely different approach. And as a result, it's so easy to blow past it. It's so easy to say, well, that's not going to work. Right? How many people?
People are thinking, it's so easy to, oh, no, it's all scientific. It's all what you put in. It's all calorie-oriented.
Yeah, what you put in is what you're going to get out, right? Yeah, of course.
But they're saying, like you read, that from the point of view we're talking, Abraham's talking about, you could eat a whole thing of ice cream, and if it's in a downstream mode, you're not going to gain any weight.
Well, that's the first thing that they said that was crazy, right? From our traditional way of looking at things, saying that you could go 1,000 days in a row and eat 1,000 tubs of ice cream, and as long as you were in alignment, you were going to put on weight. I mean, there's 3/4 of America saying, yeah, BS on that.
I think more than 3/4. It's just such a unusual way to think about it.
It's completely unusual. I mean, how could that possibly be? That's the first thought that tends to go through our minds. So here's the thing. What happens if you actually follow this approach? See, that's the real, the proof is in the pudding. Well, sorry, it's a food analogy.
Yeah.
But, you know, but in a sense it is, you know, in a sense the proof
only
is in the pudding.
Only if you like pudding. I like pudding.
Well, only if you're in vibrational alignment when you eat the pudding.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, wouldn't it be interesting if somebody who had a weight problem tried this approach instead of just blowing it off?
Oh, I think yes, absolutely.
What would happen?
Well, after we read this, I'm going to start using this for myself too. Absolutely.
I've been using it just because it was a reminder to enjoy my food.
Yes.
I mean, let me tell you, when we had those heroes yesterday, oh, was I enjoying it. I mean, the two of us, I mean, normally Louise wants to chat during dinner. She doesn't like quiet.
Right.
The two of us were silent. We were so much into eating that food. Well, partly because we were hungry, but partly because it was just delicious. And plus, the way they serve it, it's a diner, so you get French fries with it, and their French fries are fantastic.
Right.
Some of the best French fries you'll ever have. You know, so it's a wonderful combination. And you know, if I'm guzzling food, you know how that is. You know, I'm just like shoveling food in my mouth, that kind of thing. It's fast. Like, I wasn't doing that. I was eating little bites of it and just, oh God, that tastes so good. Oh, that tastes so good. Oh, I mean, I was like swimming in heaven with it. You know, so I knew that didn't matter what we were eating, because it's not like, well, I've never had a huge weight gain problem anyway, but you know, I knew that was not going to be a problem today either, because I was enjoying it so much, and I understand what they're saying. I understand the power of the law of attraction.
Yes, and there's, if you think about it, there's so many upstream thoughts when it comes to food. There's so many, like,
I try not to think about them, now that I understand this.
Is it fattening, but just, you know, is this organic? Oh, if it's not organic, it's not good for me.
I will tell you this. I mean, I've already told you that I'm one of those people. You chewed me out about this last week. I'm one of those people who had the, quote, high metabolism. I never put on a lot of weight. I mean, in the last few years or so, I put on 10 pounds, which is, like, you know, incredible for me to do something like that.
Right.
I know, and this is the interesting part, I know for a fact this was a period of time where Louise has actually put on quite a bit more than I have. And she was always thin. I mean, she had an eating disorder when she was young. She was so thin. You know, so I think it was almost more than anything else. She was actually getting to have a filled-out body, and she was enjoying it. But the fact is that because she was putting on so much weight, and because I hadn't, you know, basically taken in this idea, I hadn't read this section, first of all, and I hadn't been aware that Abraham was saying it had nothing to do with the food. If I had been aware of that, I would have thought differently. But what I actually was doing was, with her putting on the weight, I was thinking, well, we got to do stuff to, you know, control the calorie count, and we got to cut down the carbs, and we got to do all this. We got to do the food rules. And you know what, David?
Yeah.
During the time period when I kept thinking about doing the food rules and how we had to do all this stuff, that's when I put on the 10 pounds.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because you were so in a
I was so focused on it that, guess what? I put on 10 pounds.
Well,
I mean, what does that tell you, for goodness sake? It's not like my dietary pattern had changed all that much. It was pretty much what it had always been. The only difference was my mindset about food, something I'd always had a good relationship with. I mean, I had never had any kind of problems with putting on too much weight or anything like that. Didn't ever had problems putting on weight, period. I just never did it, you know, and that was because I always enjoyed food. I didn't have, you know, tons of it. I didn't need tons of it.
Right.
I just had as much as I wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no issue. And I actually was one of those people who thought, well, the reason people have too much of a weight issue is they just eat too much food. They're eating all the time. That must be what it is. I had no idea. All I knew was I was enjoying my food, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, all of a sudden, I put myself into a food rule thing, and I was starting to feel the guilt, and the 10 pounds come on. So, as wacky as what they're saying sounds, I think it's probably true. And I do also know Wendy has been trying what they've been talking about here. That's what her Project B for Body is all about. And she was telling us once again on Friday how she has reached the lowest levels that she's been at in years just by following eating foods that in the past she would have felt guilty about. She was having an Italian week. She was eating pasta and pizza and all this stuff that you're definitely not supposed to eat. And she was losing weight.
Wow. Well, I know for me, since I've been more aware of keeping myself vibrationally feeling good, I noticed for me, like, I still like desserts and sweets,
mm-hmm.
but now, like, I'm totally satisfied. Like, if I have, you know, if I'm out and someone gets a piece of cake or whatever, I can just have one or two teaspoons, and that does it for me. I don't need the whole piece of cake or the whole piece of whatever, and I actually feel more downstream when I do just have a little bit of something.
Well, it's good. That's the way it should be.
If I have too much of it, it does not feel downstream. It feels more upstream. So that's kind of interesting how I've used it in that way. It's very interesting.
And what's been the result? I mean, how's it played out?
Well, it's good. I feel healthier in general. I just do. Because for some reason, I just feel better. I realize, because I guess I'm more aware of it, I feel better just having a little bit of something. I don't feel deprived because I still am having something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have that, like, oh, I better not eat any of that whatever. No, I'm totally fine with having one or two teaspoons of the whatever, and that satisfies me totally.
Yeah, we'll have two whatevers to go, please. Yeah, thank you.
Or, like, if I go out, like, one of my favorite things, I love vanilla malts, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I actually enjoy now, like, if say there's four of us that go out, and I'm like, oh, would you guys mind if we all share one malt? And they're like, oh, that's good. Everyone seems to be happy about it because they don't have to have the whole thing or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, I just have, like, it probably comes out to probably half a cup, maybe a little bit more than that, and I'm totally satisfied. I got to have that nice taste in my mouth. It was delicious. I don't need the whole thing.
Mm.
I don't know. It just feels better and more downstream in that way.
Well, the downstream is all what it's all about. That
for me,
satisfied
yeah.
thing. Well,
now,
I think
someone
for
else,
anybody.
Maybe for someone else, having the whole thing would be downstream.
Well, that could be. Know. That could be. That yeah. could be. But the point is that you used the word. You were satisfied. That's the the Abraham word from yesterday's workshop. Being satisfied, feeling satisfied. It isn't even being satisfied. It's feeling satisfied. It's allowing to feel satisfaction. That's what they kept emphasizing, and that's what you were doing. So the net result has to be good that comes out of that, which is
but
a good thing.
I'm definitely, after reading this, it was a really good reminder. I'm definitely like tweaking how I think about eating in general and eating certain foods, and it's definitely better. It feels better to think the more downstream thoughts.
It does. You know, the other thing that I noticed today, and it came up in a conversation Louise and I had, just because I've had a little trouble focusing on really finishing off the book, because this book's been dragging on for some time now, and you know, work needed to be done on it, but like Thursday and Friday, I wasn't terribly productive about it. So she and I were talking about it, and she was making suggestions on, you know, how to get it going, get myself going and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But in the context of all that, we were just, we were talking about all these things that could in the past have given me, you know, reminders of past failures and stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah.
And what was actually happening was, there were no negative thoughts going through my head.
Wow.
Which was really nice. In fact, and I commented on that to her, the fact that, and I know it's because of the mirror work, the mirror exercises I've been doing.
Now, are you still doing that every day?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're well over 60 days straight. I'm not sure what the exact count is, but yeah.
That is wonderful.
Still doing it. And it has been wonderful because it did get rid of the negative self-talk. So even when I was dealing with, you know, okay, how am I going to get myself into that higher vibrational thing so I can really, you know, knock out the book this week and take the steps to get the thing published. I wasn't having to fight negative self-talk. It was just quiet inside. So, you know, it makes it a lot easier to take those steps, right, to do the incremental upstream changed over to downstream topics and comments and so forth. It makes it easier to do the exercises, to do the various processes that Abraham teaches.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. you're not fighting anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not right. being fought by your past.
Like thoughts attract like thoughts. So now that's you're right. having lighter, more positive thoughts. So you're mm-hmm. attracting more of those instead of the more negative ones.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So this is cool stuff. This is very cool stuff.
Yes.
Now, I have to ask you, because you mentioned that you had to deal with and kind of wrestle with food issues in the past, and maybe even up until the point where we read this chapter, this example in the book, maybe you still were dealing with them to some extent. What's your intention going forward? How much are you going to throw yourself into this? Is this going to be like a little quick fad you're going to try, or are you going to do this permanently, where you're going to do this, you know?
No, I'm actually going to reread this chapter.
Oh.
And get even clearer and clearer and clearer about it. And going forward, I'm just going to stick with it to the best, you know, and I'm sure as time goes by, I'll get, for lack of a better word, better at it and more in tune with it. And I think it's going to make a really nice difference.
No, are you like Wendy? Wendy checks her weight every day, which I have to admit is kind of strange. I haven't checked my weight in years. I literally haven't.
Right.
I mean, I actually don't know how much I weigh. If I had to guess, I'm probably about 210, but I don't know for sure.
Right.
And, you know, for somebody who's 6'8", that's actually fairly thin.
Yeah.
You know, so I honestly don't know where my weight is. I know I'm most comfortable when I'm around 200. I know that sounds crazy, right. but I really do feel more comfortable there. So that's why I say I'm about 10 pounds overweight. But I never weigh myself. So to hear her tell her stories about how she checks her weight every day, and she tries to tell it in a way that's nonchalant. But, you know, from my perspective, that's like, you know, obsessed.
Yeah.
So that's why I was wondering if you deal with that too.
No.
Well, that's good.
I'm more like you. I very rarely.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Very rarely. Yeah. Someone I know is a health coach, and she also advises her clients not to weigh themselves so often.
Yeah, I agree.
Better not.
Hey, Louise and I were doing some. We've done the open house thing for quite some time, right? And there was one open house we went to about a month ago, and there was a bathroom scale in the bathroom. And so Louise had to go try it, right? And she didn't like what the reading was that she got. So I tried it after her, and it was an old spring scale. You know, so the dial goes back and forth. And as I was standing there, even when it got down to an equilibrium point, I would shift and it would go up 10 pounds. And I'd shift again and it would go down 10 pounds. And I was saying, Louise, don't pay any attention to what's on this. This thing isn't even calibrated well. I mean, one little shift in the weight and it goes 10 pounds off. You know, don't even think about this one.
Wow. Yes. No.
So there's another reason not to look at scales.
I get weighed like when I get my yearly physical.
Ah.
And that kind of gives me some idea of how close or far I am from where I'd like to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I have a scale. I very rarely use it, though. I very rarely use it.
Yeah, we don't even have bathroom scale.
Just focus now more on how wonderful it feels, and I'm at my ideal weight, and everything I put on looks amazing, and
exactly. It
just feels lighter. And I'd rather be in those high vibration thoughts about my weight and how I look and all that kind of thing.
Well, especially after reading this chapter, this example.
That's right.
I mean, now I'm even more determined not to have a bathroom scale, not to use one, not to even be concerned about it. And just like you say, focus on the feeling good. Because that's what I'm trying to do with my whole life anyway. So this is just, you know, one more reason to do it from my perspective.
Yes. And what you think about what you're eating makes a big difference.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if I'm telling myself, oh, this food is so nourishing for me. And
oh, I see what you mean.
And it's burning, you know, it's helping me burn calories. And eating this is just so great. That makes a difference. Than thinking like, oh my God, I'm going to gain so much weight by eating this. You see what I'm saying? You want to, like what you're telling yourself makes a difference too.
But I honestly don't think either of those things. Literally, David, I have one thing that I think about when I eat.
Yeah.
Oh, that tastes good. Or, oh, not so good. I'm not so interested in that. I'm not going to eat any more of it.
Yeah.
That's literally, yeah. That's it. That's all I think about when I'm eating. It's just, do I like it or don't I like it? And if I don't like it, I'm done with it. I mean, I'm serious. That's all there is to it.
And if you like it, you give yourself the green light to go for it.
Well, the one difference that, now there is one point where there's a difference. The one difference is in the past, I might have guzzled it. Now I'm taking the time to just, you know, enjoy each little bite and take small bites and just feel the flavor.
Well, that's apparently healthier anyway.
I think it is. It certainly helps vibrationally. I mean, you're the one who talks about high vibration foods. I don't think it's even that the foods are vibrational. I think it's the way we eat them.
But if you think about it, though, if you didn't know this information, how could anyone possibly eat feeling good about it? Because there's so many people, like, it's like this constant tug of war. No, do this diet. No, do my diet because this one's better.
Oh,
no, do this one because that one's better. And then like a year later, oh, don't do that one because we found out that causes some illness. Oh, you got to do this one. It's like you can go crazy.
It's like what Wendy said about she has certain gurus that she's paid attention to. And this one guru used to say that you shouldn't eat potatoes. It's the worst thing you could possibly eat is potatoes.
Right. Yeah.
And now the same guru, she's saying, oh, potatoes, it turns out, are actually good for you. Eat all the potatoes you want. And Wendy's thinking, well, make up your mind. Which is it?
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like, and then there was one point where some lady was the pineapple diet, like all you eat is pineapple.
Ooh.
I don't know. There's, I'm sure, like
that for me is a starvation diet because I don't like that much pineapple, so I'd starve to death.
I'm sure if we made a list of all the things that came out that everyone said this is what you do, and then a year later, oh no, don't do that. We find out that's not right. We would have this very, very long list.
Pineapple diet. Whoever thought of a pineapple diet?
I forget what her name was. Yeah, it was a whole book and everything. But I'm saying that there's been many, you know, many, many things like that. If it's not pineapple, it's something else. But I don't know.
So has anybody come up with the old shoe diet?
Eating old shoes?
Yeah, you eat like the sole of an old shoe. And, you know, after about a meal of that, you just don't want to eat anymore. So you lose weight.
I'm not going to go for that one. No, I just try to stick to fruits, vegetables, and protein. To me, that's what I like.
I do know I do best when I have a high protein diet. I know there are people who say that, you know, you shouldn't have all that much protein, but I just know I function better when I have a high protein diet than I do with a low protein.
I feel the same way
for
me as well.
Well.
Yeah.
I mean, I can feel it. I can feel a very tangible difference. So it has nothing to do with weight loss. It has to do with how I do.
I was a vegetarian for many years when I was much younger.
Yeah.
And I just didn't feel like I know I should feel. And that, you know, it was even with trying to figure out why and then adding this or adding that. And then I slowly started going back to like a little fish, a little chicken. And it made a huge difference in a positive way of how I felt.
Oh, yeah. Well, Cindy tells me that apparently some researchers say it has to do with your blood type. If you're a certain blood type, then you either need to be high protein or low protein or this or that. I guess I'm type O, she's type O, so I don't know if you're type O, but if you are, apparently that means we're all people who need to eat a high protein diet.
Yeah. I probably am, because that's how I feel. So
we'll type you based on how you do with protein.
Yes. But anyway, I think we only have like a minute left.
Yeah, we're down to the last minute. But this has been fun. I mean, the good news is we got to the example, finally, so we can actually do another example next week, which is always a good thing.
And if there's anyone interested, for those of you who don't know, I am a certified and experienced Law of Attraction life coach. If you want to experience some amazing Law of Attraction coaching, you can go to lifecoachdavid.com, and you can contact me through there.
Excellent. We love it. David, it's been great.
Yeah.
Let's do it again next week. I mean, if you're up for it, that is.
I can't wait.
Okay.
I'm already looking forward to it.
All right. Well, good. Then we'll do it. And we hope that you join us as well next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Have a great week.